Are you a teenager or young adult with a fear of making phone calls? Well, guess what? So are the rest of your peers, but there is help. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, back to explore a newfound phobia among young people after this.
Why are most email programs free? Companies use them as bait to lure people into their system so they can scan their data and sell them to advertisers. It's like a hotel giving out free rooms so they can film people sleeping and then sell the video. You'd never agree to that. StartMail restores your privacy. No one but you sees your sensitive data, and it costs less than a postage stamp a week. StartMail.com. It's email you can trust.
Does the sound of a ringing phone make you anxious? The answer might depend on your age. A recent study from Australia found that 60% of Gen Zers surveyed dreaded making or receiving a phone call. Another study found that 81% of millennials share the same fear. It's gotten so bad, one woman named Mary Jane Copps has set up a consulting agency charging $480 an hour to help young people get over their phone hang-ups, no pun intended. She advises anxious phone users to look at pictures of smiling people when they make their calls. And that's a tip you can use for free. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht for StartMail.com, the private email I use and recommend.
This is the Dr. Catherine Albrecht Show.
Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop. Call up an army against Babylon. Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop. Call up an army against Babylon. Wave your hand to encourage them. Wave your hand to encourage them. As they march into the palaces of the high and mighty, I, the Lord, have dedicated these soldiers for this task. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. And they will rejoice when I am exalted.
Hey, good afternoon. Catherine Albrecht here. Boy, we've been talking about AI this week, and I've been talking about AI for a long time since I started back on the air last year, about a year ago. And at the time, I remember people saying, yeah, it's a pretty decent show, but gosh, would you stop talking about AI already? Because at that time, nobody really had any interest in it, any information about it. It was just kind of a random subject, sort of like if I went in the air and started talking about, I don't know, offshore drilling or something. I guess that would have other implications, but just a topic that's kind of in the back of your mind, but you don't really want to have a whole show about it every day, all the time. Yet, nevertheless, AI really is the big topic. And my new website, realisgood.org, which is not yet up, but it'll be up by next week. My new website has got me thinking as I'm building it and putting all the information together in preparation for some major radio interviews I have coming up. I have been giving a lot of thought to what does it mean that real is good? What if real is good, which we know it is, because God made all things to be good and all the things he made are real things. What does it mean to have something not be real? And as I've pondered that thought, it is more than just artificial intelligence. It's more than just fake marriages or fake relationships. It's now to the point where I'm thinking, wow, fake food, fake flavors, fake things that we willingly accept, fake stories in the form of movies or TV, fake stories, even in the form of books, even in the form of fiction and mythology, all of which is, those are all things I'm writing about in my own book. But there is a form of fake that we know is fake, And that would be like a movie, right? You go to a movie, you know that the things happening in the movie aren't actually real life. A part of your brain thinks they are. A part of your brain, the subconscious deep part of your brain where fear resides, that subconscious part that brings up the things you see in movies in your dreams, that part of your brain arguably does not know what fiction is and what reality is. Just like when you have a dream, it seems very, very real because that part of your brain is unable to distinguish between what you're dreaming and what's happening in real life. But for the most part, when we watch a movie, when we turn on the TV, when hopefully when kids watch cartoons, there's a sense that that's not reality. What I've been thinking about today is a topic called pig butchering. All right, and you're like, what are you even talking about? Well, pig butchering is a form of unreality that people fall for without knowing it's not real. The new term is pig butchering. The term that you are probably familiar with and that I'm familiar with is catfishing, meaning you're online and you're on a social, not a social media site. Well, you could be on a social media site, but more likely you're on a dating website. And there is a picture there that looks pretty good. And you swipe on it and they swipe on you. And the next thing you know, you're having a conversation with someone who you've never met. And in the course of that conversation, sometimes those online conversations can stretch on for days, weeks, months, in some cases years, but typically months. And during that span of time, you are interacting with somebody or something that purports to be the picture that you've seen, purports to have the career and the background and the name and the identity that they are telling you about. But who really knows what's on the other side of that? If anyone listening to this program now has ever had an experience where you were chatting with someone online through a dating app, and found yourself intrigued, right? Intrigued, vaguely titillated by the thought that person, checking, logging on, did they write to me? What did they have to say? Then you've experienced a phenomenon that I think is really, I don't know if this was the case back in the days of pen pals and mail order brides. Perhaps it was, but it's certainly the case nowadays when somebody or something is communicating with you in real time, actually putting up on the screen words and they're popping up there and they're talking to you. The difference, I suppose, between having that happen through a dating app where you chat for a while before you decide to have a video call or a phone call and get to know each other in a more human space or a more personal space, that span in between there, that limerence, and limerence is a really good word. It's like limerick, but it's limerence. It is a word that refers to that feeling, that exciting, I don't even know how to describe it, that like overpowering, almost drug-like feeling when you are attracted to someone at the very beginning of an infatuation and all through the infatuation. That's actually called limerence. And most of us have experienced it. Many of us have experienced it multiple times. It is intoxicating. It clouds your judgment. It's meant to do that. This is why God designed it, because we are meant to fall in love with other fallible, completely imperfect human beings to the extent where we will spend enough time with them to actually join our lives with theirs and have children with them. And that's how God has created marriage and family as a place to raise children and perpetuated society and indeed our entire species. So that feeling of limerence, that feeling of excitement, that feeling of butterflies in your stomach, and that feeling of logging on and hoping that there's going to be a message there from the other person, or that back those of us who experienced limerence prior to the existence of the internet, the feeling that, well, maybe they'll call. The phone rings. And back before we all had caller ID, the phone would ring and you'd be, oh, is it him? Oh, I hope it's him. And you'd run over there and it'd be your mom. You'd be like, oh, hi, mom. right? And then the next time the phone, oh, is it him? So that feeling, and I think every generation knows it. All the way back in literature from the 1800s, it talks about the cotillion, the dance, the whatever big Christmas event, and is he going to be here? Is she going to be here? Am I going to catch a glimpse of her? Even back in Shakespeare, this is as old as time, that we are meant to experience that degree of head over heels, nonsensical, completely irrational infatuation for another person. It's built into our makeup. If we didn't have it, then, and I kind of find myself suspecting maybe young people today don't have it in the same way. If we didn't have it, we wouldn't date. We wouldn't get married. We wouldn't form relationships. And just as I'm saying that, I'm thinking, yeah, a lot of young people aren't. And they're calling themselves asexual and saying that they have no romantic interest in anyone. And it's just flat. They don't have that experience. So forget what I just said about it's always been there. It will always be there. I don't know. It's a wonderful thing, though, when you do experience it, provided you're experiencing it with someone you should experience it with, someone who is trustworthy, someone who shares your values, someone who, if you take it to the next step of involvement, is a good person to get involved with. All right, now this brings me back to the topic of fake. Real is good. It is a very bad idea to experience that limerence, that infatuation with somebody who is terrible, right? You typically want to avoid people of the opposite sex, or if you're so inclined, however you're attracted, you want to avoid people who inspire that in you while your brain, your mind, your logical faculties are going, that is not a good person. Then it is best to just remove yourself from the circumstance so you don't fall deeper into it. But given that we are all inclined, we're all wired, we're all wired, unless something's going amiss, we're all wired to experience this feeling. There are predators out there, scammers and criminals, and now AI, which have found ways to take advantage of this very natural human response in order to get us dancing like a puppet on a string. All right, stay tuned. I'll tell you more about that.
Why are most email programs free? Companies use them as bait to lure people into their system so they can scan their data and sell them to advertisers. It's like a hotel giving out free rooms so they can film people sleeping and then sell the video. You'd never agree to that. StartMail restores your privacy. No one but you sees your sensitive data, and it costs less than a postage stamp a week. StartMail.com. It's email you can trust. Your email is your business, but if it's spied on, hacked, or intercepted, it can fall into the wrong hands. The solution is encryption, a high-tech way to scramble your data so no one can read it. For years, only the technical elite could use this powerful tool, until StartMail came along. StartMail not only lets you encrypt the email you send, it encrypts your entire account. Encryption. It's just one more way StartMail.com keeps you.
All right, so I'm looking up famous limericks, and they're all too dirty to tell on the air. I'm pretty horrified here, and I found a couple of really tame and kind of lame ones that are Christian, actually. Limerick is, I gotta find one. I can't just make one up off the top of my head. Limerick's about Dostoevsky, really? Limerick's about reference books? Hang on, there's got to be a famous. Now, what's the most famous? There was a young something from somewhere. By the way, limericks have absolutely nothing to do with what I'm talking about. They just happen to sound similar. So, all right, I'm on the Poetry Foundation website, and let me share a limerick here. Let me make sure it's clean before I start reading it. That's really lame. These are so dumb. Okay, this is a good one. There was a young lady of Lynn who was so uncommonly thin that when she essayed, I don't know what that means, to drink lemonade, she slipped through the straw and fell in. All right, that's a limerick. So they have that pattern there. Ba 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 da 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 da. So any words you can make to fit that pattern would actually create a limerick. But I'm not going to do a whole show on limericks. Let me get back to limerence. You won't forget the word now, right? Limerence is that phenomenon, according to Wikipedia, that is the mental state of being madly in love or intensely infatuated when reciprocation of the feeling is uncertain. The state is characterized by intrusive thoughts and idealization of the loved one, also known as crystallization, typically with a desire for reciprocation to form a relationship. This is accompanied by feelings of ecstasy or despair, depending on whether one's feelings seem to be reciprocated or not. Research on the biology of romantic love indicates that the early stage of intense romantic love, also known as passionate love, resembles addiction, but academics do not currently agree on how to define love addictions. The psychologist Dorothy Tenov is the first to coin the term limerence as an alliteration of the word amerence with other meanings of that word. The concept grew out of her 1960s work when she interviewed over 500 people on the topic of love, and she originally published that in the book called Love and Limerence. I actually did research into this back when I was writing my qualifying paper at Harvard, so I know a little bit about this. According to Tenop, to be in a state of limerence is to feel what is usually termed being in love. She coined the term to disambiguate or distinguish the state from other less overwhelming emotions and to avoid the implication that people who don't experience it are not capable of love. She was inspired to study romantic love after encountering people in her job as a professor who experienced severe heartbreak. Yeah, on a breakup. And that can be incredibly tragic. In fact, the state of limerence can cause such a deep, incredible feeling of despair that it is, we've seen some tragic outcomes from that in literature and throughout history. Tenov's research suggests that limerence is normal, although it is illogical. In a 2025 survey suggested that as many as 50 to 60% of the population has experienced it. All right, so that's limerence. You can look it up on Wikipedia. They've got a whole lot more on there about it. It's really interesting. But that phenomenon, what we've now been learning, and I guess what we've known through pen pals and such in the past as well, that phenomenon is not restricted to face-to-face communications. In fact, sometimes back in the early days of online relationships, which is what I wrote my qualifying paper on at Harvard, 300 pages on that, back in the early days when it was brand new, you could fall in love with a person or feel limerence for a person, and you could go on for months communicating through IRC chat rooms, through listservs and all of the different ways that the early internet allowed people to communicate through text. But back then, it was not possible to transmit a photograph. I remember once with my 40 meg modem waiting like 36 hours to get a single photo that someone had sent to me. So it was not a good medium for transmitting. You certainly couldn't transmit video, and you really couldn't even transmit a picture. So people had these relationships in text. And there was I guess it was in the 90s, where a lot of people would talk about the, the movie with Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks, You've Got Mail, where they're super excited. They know each other in real life because she runs a bookstore and he's in there periodically. They don't even like each other. But when it comes to You've Got Mail, that old AOL audio thing you'd hear on your computer when the person had written to you, would cause both of them to be super excited and read these mail messages from each other and write back to one another. And while they didn't like each other in person, they were really, really in a state of limerence with one another through text. So there is something going on there. And in the 90s, there were a lot of people. I remember this myself. I was kind of involved in that whole, I was a part of that whole wave that struck then, where you would meet somebody, you'd have this incredible text connection, and you would make a decision to meet them. If they were nearby, you'd pick a restaurant, you'd meet, or some people even flew to other countries and even other continents and got off the plane looking forward to meeting the person. And when they met them, the second they saw them in person, all of that limerence evaporated and they were left with a sense of revulsion that this person is the person that I have developed all these feelings for. Because there's a difference between interacting with someone in their mind only and actually encountering them in the flesh. There are lots of things that go into making up attraction, things that are subconscious, things we're not even aware of. Things like someone's pheromones or their smell or their genetic similarity or difference from us. Tons and tons of things go into that. You know, their height, their the way they might look like someone from your past. So many elements that we couldn't even identify them all. And yet you could have someone that you'd been speaking to for a year, madly in love with, be planning, you know, making wedding plans. You hop on a plane and you fly to, you know, Denmark to meet them. You get off the plane in Copenhagen. I think that's in Denmark. You get off the plane and they're waiting there with a bouquet of flowers. And you're like, oh my gosh, I am stuck here for 2 weeks. What am I going to do? Okay. So I say all of this simply to say that there is a phenomenon where connecting with another person's spirit and mind is very different, or can be very different, from connecting with them in physical 3D, what we used to call meat space, right? Meat, M-E-A-T. I guess it's also M-E-E-T. Meat space, where you're meeting the other person in the flesh. The thing I want to get back to here is taking that potential and abusing it. Catfishers do it. I have a pretty good friend who had this actually, in fact, I have two friends who had this happen where they were in quote-unquote relationships with gentlemen, very attractive and successful gentlemen that they had met online, and they were in limerence. They were in a state of super excitement and couldn't say enough about this guy, and I asked each of them, have you ever met this guy? And it turned out that when they tried to actually arrange a meeting, well, you know, he was out of the country, or he was, you know, various reasons why, and it just strung on and on and on, and they never could meet. And eventually you go, something's up here. All right. Why do catfishers do that? They do it because they know that when you're in that state of insanity that goes along with limerence, that you will do really stupid stuff to continue it. It's like a drug addiction. You want it and you want more of it and you want as much of it as you can get. And you are likely to disregard all of the signs and indications and red flags that it's not really what it seems like. They say love is blind. Well, love is blind because we want the drug and we want more of the drug. And if ignoring certain things helps us to maintain the fantasy that keeps the drug flowing and pumping in our veins, then people are inclined to do that. So there is, let me see if I can pull up my article. This is such an awful story. They found, in a couple of places, they have found notebooks for something called pig butchering, which I guess is the new name for catfishing. And this is a current phenomenon. It accounts for 40% of the entire GDP of certain countries in Southeast Asia. And I'll give you all the details on the stats when we come back from this break. But there are entire farms, if you want to call them that, they're huge complexes that are filled with people like almost like customer service people, right? They're each sitting at their desk, they got their little headset on, and they've got their computer screen, and they are all actively farming pigs. And what they refer to as pigs are us, right? Wealthy Americans who are stupid and likely to fall for a pretty picture and likely to fall for a handsome set of abs and likely to fall for a nice conversation and for some flattery and for some attention. And they found, authorities have found the books that these people wrote, that the criminals who run these farms have written, with the instructions of how to lure and reel in the victims that they've found online. And it is shocking the number of people who've fallen for this. And it is shocking how you can look at it and say, oh gosh, roll my eyes, I would never fall for that, until you do. Until it actually happens to you. So I want to caution everybody out there, be very careful of anything that is interacting with you in text only, whether it is a supposed person, whether it is an AI, whether it is whatever it is. If it's talking to you in text and it's just making you a little too happy, making you a little too much wanting to interact with it, then that's your indication, that's your clue, that's your sign that you need to take it into real space, meet space, right? Meet them, actually talk to them, make sure they're real. All right, when we come back, I'm going to talk about the extraordinary amount of the planetary economy this accounts for. Yeah, it's scary stuff. All right, stay tuned.
Is your email box overrun with spam? With a StartMail account, you'll never have to give your real email address to a stranger again. Online shopping, newsletter subscriptions, getting that 30% off coupon, they all need your email address. But with StartMail, you can invent new addresses or aliases linked to your inbox behind the scenes and give those out to people while keeping your real address hidden. It's just one more protection from StartMail.com.
Red alert, Yahoo users. You've fallen in a trap that could ruin your life if you keep using Yahoo.
You consent to sharing all data in your email account with our AI providers, and you grant us a perpetual license to use, display, publish, and publicly distribute your content in any media known now or in the future, and to let other users access and distribute it as well.
Yikes! It's time to switch to StartMail, the only email that's AI-free and private by design. StartMail.com. Use promo code JD.
Can I come?
Beloved, let us always love one another. 'Cause God is love, whoever loves is fathered by God and has intimate knowledge of Him. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son down to us, so we might finally live through Him. This is how we know that we live in Him, and He in us, He's given us His Spirit. Let us love one another, love one another. God is love.
Hey, I'm back. All right, so catfishing is one step, I guess, down from pig butchering. Pig butchering, I like the way it's described here. When catfishing meets crypto investment fraud, the pig butchering scam is designed to get you not only looking forward to speaking to another person through love bombing and all kinds of things, love bombing, B-O-M-B-I-N-G, but to also prey on another human frailty, and that is greed. So in a pig butchering scam, and they've actually tried to get it down to where they can fleece people of 50 or 100 grand in as little as 7 days, in a pig butchering scam, they bomb you with attention and affection and all kinds of wonderfulness. They pretend to be very interested in the things you're interested in. They ask you questions so that they can then, surprise, surprise, be into the same things you're into. And then just casually in the background, they'll drop a hint about having lots of money, staying at really expensive places, doing things that only people with lots of money would do. And so now you're intrigued, because now if you could land this person, you would be able to join them in that lavish lifestyle. And once they have you convinced that they're really rich and you want to be really rich because that seems pretty cool and you've got a live opportunity right here in front of you, plus the person's really pretty awesome and you want to join that lifestyle, then they will begin talking about their investments. And this is really important for you to be aware of. And I wanted to do this show because I want to caution every one of my listeners to be aware of this and to not fall for it. So the way it works is they will make comments about their lavish lifestyle, about their investments, their cryptocurrency, their how they turned a certain amount of money into a huge other amount of money, how they just turned it around, until you become intrigued. And they won't offer it to you. They won't ask you for any money. All right. The catfishing scam is like, I need $5,000 to come from Thailand to visit you. Please send me the money so I can buy a ticket. This is a little different. This is actually worse. I think morally they're both awful, but this one runs the risk of you losing a whole lot more money. So in this scam, they'll tell you, they'll just drop hints about all the money that they're making doing the thing until you ask about it, or maybe they'll mention it to you. And they'll say, well, you know, it's pretty exclusive. Not everybody can get in on it, but if you want, you can invest $500 and give it a shot. And here's where this gets nasty. So you say, sure, I'll invest $500. And you log into an online account, you create a login and a password, you give them your email, you give them security questions, you know, do all the thing you do. And you download an app. And now you've got an app on your phone, and the app is your cryptocurrency balance. And so you put $500 in there, and maybe it's some speculative investment, and lo and behold, the next day you log on, it's $510. The next day you log on, it's $740. The next day, it's $1,200. And so you are now convinced. And your $1,200 is in there. You can withdraw it. They'll let you take your $1,200 out. You can go spend it. But now what's going to happen next? You're going to say to yourself, wow, you know, if I mortgaged my house, I could probably get $150,000. And if I put that in there, wow, if my $500 turned into $1,200, my $150,000 could turn into $500,000 before I know it. And so they will try to dissuade you. Oh, no, you know, that this is... And so finally, you find yourself begging them to allow you, take my money already. And you've got your little app, you put your investment in there. Maybe you start off with $50,000. You put in your $50,000, you log in daily, you're watching the numbers go up, and maybe they'll drop a little, but then they go back up. And you are watching your net worth climb in a phenomenal way. And now you're having thoughts about retirement, thoughts about, you know, paying off your debts and all these things, right? Visions of sugar plums dance in your head. And next thing you know, you are trying to get even more money. Right? Where are you going to get it? Well, if I could get $1,000,000 somehow and put that in there, I could have $3,000,000, right? So you find yourself almost like a heroin addict who is going through his family member's, you know, purse and selling their furniture. You find yourself scraping around everywhere you can think of, borrowing money from everybody you know, and scooping up cash however you can find it and pouring it all into this very profitable thing that you secretly, you know, that you somehow amazingly hit on this secret thing that is so effective. And so now you've put in $1,000,000, right? You've mortgaged your house, you've convinced your aging mother to mortgage her house, you've got, right, you've embezzled from your company, you have dipped into the books at you know, maybe dipped into the tithing plate at church that you have access to or that you're in charge of. And so you're just pouring money in there. And then comes the day when you've got, oh, I don't know, $2,000,000 in there, $3,000,000 in there, and you want to take some out. You're thinking, I'm really flush with cash now. I'd like to buy a new car. I'm tired of this old car. And so you go to the account and you try to transfer, let's say, I don't know, $40,000 from your $3 million into your personal bank account, and the website chokes and says, no, this is an international transaction. You've triggered all the fraud alerts. And like, oh, gosh. So now you talk to your pig butchering friend, and you know they hold your hand and reassure you and tell you, oh, yeah, here's how you overcome that. So you go through all the motions. And time after time after time, you cannot withdraw the money. And eventually it gets to the point where you can't withdraw the money until you put in more money. That in order to free up the funds, I don't even know how they psychologically convince the people to do this, but they do. In order to free up the funds, you've got to put in more funds. And so now you're desperate because you got to get your money out. And the only way you're going to get your money out is putting more money in. So you now find yourself doing really major crimes in order to get all of this money because you know you're going to pay it back. And finally, the whole thing collapses and the FBI arrives. you're going to jail for a long time for fraud and embezzlement because you've been stealing not just hundreds of dollars, but millions of dollars. And the next thing you know, you're being hauled off by federal agents, you know, wearing sunglasses and driving black cars and, you know, swarming around you. And it's a big incident. It's a big thing. Well, this actually happened to the manager of, what's the name of this bank? Hang on, let me find this guy. This poor guy. I feel kind of bad for him. Sean Haynes, H-A-N-E-S. He was loved in his community in and a president of a Kansas bank. He got sucked into one of these pig butchering scams. And because he was the president of a bank, they didn't target him. They just happened to, you know, hit the jackpot with this guy. He was able to take out millions, like $20 million worth of loans through the just all of the banking industry things that he had access to. And they finally caught him. His board of directors finally figured it out because he was trying to get $20 million and saying, if I could just get the $20 million, look. And he showed them the app on his phone and said, look how much money I've already got in there. I've got like $30 million in there. I just need $20 million and I'll be able to get it out. And finally, people said, you are smoking. You are smoking crack. You are wrong. And the authorities came in, they shut down the bank. They came in with, like, you know, drills and stepladders and like drop cloths, and they dismantled the entire bank. They took everything out of the bank, all the computers, all the surveillance cameras, everything, and they let him off. And he is now serving, he embezzled $47 million. He got caught in a crypto scam, embezzled $47 million trying to dig his way out of it, and caused the Kansas bank he ran to fail. Now he's doing time in Leavenworth. Yeah. CEO of Heartlands Tri-State Bank. Now, this is a small community. These are his neighbors. These are farmers. These are guys with tractors that, you know, he hangs out with at the, you know, local, I don't know, barbecue joint on the weekends. Sean was the picture-perfect image of the guy you'd want running your small-town bank, said Jim Tucker, an Elkhart, because this is the name of the town, farmer and board bank member. He mowed yards. He coached sports teams. Everybody liked him. Okay. So did he mean to steal $47 million from all his neighbors? Of course not. Of course not. But did he do it? Yeah, he did. But he thought with this $47 million, he would be unlocking $100 million. You know, I'll be the richest man and, you know, I'll be richer than God. I don't know, whatever these people think. It was all a scam. So here's the thing, folks. If you download a cryptocurrency app, there is a non-zero chance that that cryptocurrency app is completely fictional and made up. And in fact, he got to the point where he even flew, I think, to Australia where this thing was based and got off the plane. I think that's when he began to realize this was wrong, because there, the bank where supposedly all this money was in Australia. And that's when things began to go south, because there was no bank in Australia. And here he is in another country. But, you know, you would spend 14 hours on a plane and a couple grand in airfare just to get, you know, to get back your $47 million, wouldn't you? And so many, many people are involved in this. They have people who will answer the phone. They have customer service lines that are set up very professionally. And you press one and you get, you know, the one person, and you press two and you get a different person, a different apart. There's a fraud department that will release holds on your account. There is, you know, and they go through all the same questions. I need the last four digits of your social security number. I mean, it really seems legitimate. And yet, all the numbers on that little crypto app that you have are fake. You see the numbers going up, you see the balance saying this, and there's literally nothing there. There is nothing there because it's all a scam. So two things we humans fall for. Number one is anyone claiming that they really, really love and understand us. And number two, anything that says, hey,
I've been hearing a lot about the LifeWave patches and they sound amazing. And I'm thinking I want to try them for myself. But can you tell me how they work?
You wear the patch, which is about the size of a quarter, 12 hours a day, 12 on, 12 off. And the patch uses your body's own light and energy and copper peptides to reactivate the dormant stem cells in your body. Once a stem cell has been reactivated, it can be used by any of the cells in your body that need it, creating a healing and growth process you haven't experienced since your youth. So in a nutshell, this is how the LifeWave X39 patch works.
You can purchase the LifeWave patches by going to americasfreedomnetwork.com. Then click on the Natural Health Products button at the top of the page. That's americasfreedomnetwork.com.
Look, this product works, and you've got nothing to lose because there's a 100% money-back guarantee.
That's americasfreedomnetwork.com. Thank you.
Don't gotta worry about a thing. Your thoughts on what is true and honorable, on what is right and pure and lovely and admirable. Put into practice all you've learned, and the God of peace will be with you. Then you don't gotta.
Yeah, well, use common sense. I think there are plenty of people who want to make you worry about a lot of things because, so just be on the lookout. And if you're looking for love, this comment in from listener David here, if you're seeking love, the best place to get that is Jesus Christ. There's no love better. And I agree with that entirely. One of the fruits of the Spirit is love. It's not just love that flows from you. It's love that flows to you. And there's a discernment also that comes with the Holy Spirit that I like to think would snap me out of any kind of unreality here. Bear in mind that these scams are all based on getting something for nothing. They're all based on get rich quick. They're all based on greed. They're all based on the flesh, right? They're not. There's nothing good in here. You're not pursuing anything positive. You're just wanting to line your own pocket and you know, become a big shot in your community. That is not a good motivation. And I have come to the pretty firm conclusion that having a lot of money, not just enough to be comfortable, but I'm talking about like insane, inhuman amounts of money is insane and inhuman, and it makes you insane and inhuman. So we should not be pursuing it. I do not want $47 million. In fact, if you right now told me that you could just wave a wand and put $47 million in a bank, I would not instantly say yes. I'd have to stop and think, how can I do that in a way that I won't lose my, my bearings, my what makes me human, that I won't be so corrupted and destroyed by that I will no longer be me. All right. I have a couple of windows open, and I'm going to take the next 10 minutes or so, and I'm just going to share with you. I'm just literally going to read to you from the various websites that I have open here. All right, here's one. How Hong Kong Deep Fake Scam Group, Hong Kong Deep Fake Scam Group, taught recruits to pass as rich single women. Learning Japanese, playing golf, and tasting red wine worth more than Hong Kong $100,000 a bottle are among the topics for conversation taught to recruits. All right, learning Japanese, blah, blah, blah. This was a scam syndicate that was teaching recruits to pass as rich single women, Hong Kong police have revealed. The chat-up strategies were among those recorded in notebooks seized by the police force last week when, this is in January 2025, when officers arrested 31 people connected to a syndicate that used deep fake images of attractive women to lure victims into romance and investment scams. Police say they intercepted more than 34 million Hong Kong dollars in scam proceeds as part of the operation. The rest of it had already been spent. Syndicate members would teach new recruits how to approach victims and converse with them, such as getting to know their occupation, education level, financial goals, and cryptocurrency investments, said Senior Inspector Fong Si Wing of the Commercial Crime Bureau. They would also flaunt a wealthy lifestyle to fan the victim's desires and gain their trust that the scammer was living a decadent life. Excerpts of the notebooks seen by the Post, and they have a picture of them. They're just, they look like almost blue books from college, and just lined paper with Chinese writing, handwriting on them. It says, excerpts of the notebook seen by the Post, what am I reading? I don't know, one of the Posts, revealed that youngsters eager to make fast money were recruited to convince victims living as far away as Taiwan, Singapore, and Malaysia that they were accomplished individuals with an eye for the finer things in life. One entry in a list of bogus daily activities said, quote, make the client think you're exceptional by discussing hobbies to keep the online conversation going and to reinforce your fake status. The detailed entries talked about all these sorts of different things. All right, so this is one, including even this comment. When discussing a passion for running, scammers were encouraged to say this: I think a woman's greatest asset is self-discipline. You can also say things like, everyone deserves to buy such good things. And then you show them a gold watch that you just bought. All right, that's one website. Let me go on to the next one. This is about Sean Haynes. It's a fascinating story. I read the whole thing. It was so instructive. Such a morality tale of how this guy fell. So I'm going to post that in my chat room. In fact, I think I already did. It's in my chat room. By the way, I'm coming out with a new newsletter. If you want to be part of it and sign up for it, go to Catherine-Albrecht.com, soon to be realisgood.org, but right now, Catherine-Albrecht.com. There is at the bottom of my menu bar a message me link, and if you click it, there's a little form you can fill out and say hi. Let me know, say something nice or not nice as you choose. But you can ask me to sign up for the newsletter there. I haven't put it on a regular schedule yet, but it's probably starting next week going to be going on a regular schedule. And I've already sent out one issue. So if you want to get that issue, sign up. All right, this one is Scammer's Guide, and it's all going to be in there. How cybercriminals plot to rob a target in a week. This is from The Straits, Straits Times. Here's what this one says. A handbook found during a police raid on a compound used by a cyber fraud gang in the Philippines. Right, these are all over the place. This is a different one than the previous one. Offers detailed instructions in Chinese to conduct scams and reveals a blueprint for grooming and deception. It's on the second page, the guide states, a woman's IQ is zero when in love. As long as her emotions are in place, her money will naturally follow. A second handbook seized during another law enforcement operation gives tips in English and Chinese about how to conduct romance scams. Together, they provide a window into the psychological techniques used by criminal gangs to beguile victims into believing they're in romantic relationships before duping them into fraudulent investments known as pig butchering, because the gangs say targets are led like hapless pigs to the slaughter. It's among the most prevalent scams today, according to the U.S. FBI. All right, so that's this one, and I'll give you a link to that one. Now, here's another one. Pig butchering scams began attracting attention around 2019 in China. They're typically carried out by organized Chinese crime groups where, they've stolen billions of dollars from victims worldwide. One notable example from 2023 is that banker in Kansas I told you about, Sean Haynes, who embezzled $47 million from his bank account to cover his losses after falling victim to a pig butchering scam, sentenced to 24 years in prison. And some of the articles say, is he like a perpetrator or a victim? I guess he's both. A pig butchering scam consists of three stages: hunting, raising, and killing. Okay. The first stage, hunting, is scammers finding victims online. Raising them is talking with them to build trust. And killing them is getting them to invest large amounts of money that you then steal. Okay. One more. You ever gotten a message that is the wrong number on your phone, like a text, and it'll say, here, they have an example here. Hey, Dave, when's the meeting scheduled for again? And you say, this isn't Dave, you must have the wrong number. And then they say, hey, sorry about that. I think I've got the wrong person. I was trying to reach someone named Dave, but while I've got you, how's your day going? Okay. These text messages may, this is the Department of Financial Protection and Innovation. I didn't know these guys. www.dfpi.ca.gov. I guess this is a California government agency. These text messages may seem harmless, but they're designed to start a conversation that leads to ongoing communication. Scammers are trained to use a variety of conversational techniques, like feigning romantic interest or mirroring shared hobbies, to gradually develop a relationship with their target and gain their confidence. They can spend weeks or even months in conversation with their targets before even mentioning or introducing the scam. Okay. Again, get it into meet space, and I don't mean M-E-A-T, that's gross, but M-E-E-T. meet them. And even then, you can't be sure. I have some friends who have actually even met the gentleman of their dreams in person, who took them on a date, and later found out that, and there's websites where you can punch their pictures in, and found out that they had multiple social media or dating profiles with lots of different names and were actively dating multiple women at the same time. So this could even happen in your own community. It could be somebody in your town who is dating, you know, 20, 30 different men or 20, 30 different women, just, living the high life, going out to dinner, taking people out for drinks, having, you know, casual flings here and there, and the, just waiting to reel in the cash. All right. Here's the chain of events, according to this one. An unknown phone number texts or messages a target with a harmless message, usually taken for a random name, disguised as an oops, wrong number text. When the target responds, the actor tries to start up a conversation with a friendly demeanor. This then evolves into love bombing, including compliments, friendly advice, ego boosting, and saying flattering things about any photos that you send to them. Sometimes the relationship may turn romantic, and eventually the scammer butches the pig who has been fattened up, usually through a phony cryptocurrency app or just straight up asking them to send money. All right. Now, we all know don't ever send money to anybody online, but people still do it. People still do it. That's because the heart wants what the heart wants, and sometimes it doesn't listen to the mind. So hopefully I have protected at least one person out there. Maybe you're actually currently involved with someone who's doing this to you. This would be your wake-up call and your sign to maybe talk to a friend, talk to talk to your banker, talk to somebody who can take a look and say, you know, is this real? Am I in a delusion here? Am I being taken for a ride? And, if that's you, get out while you can. Get out while you can. All right. So trust but verify. I don't know. I would say when it's online love bombing, I would maybe don't trust until you verify. All right. This is Dr. Catherine Albrecht. I don't think I'm going to be with you tomorrow because there's a big vote at our county commissioners. And we may be getting Pastor Anthony on.